Right now, we're recapping some of the month's big headlines in state politics, starting with last week's State of the State address by Governor Evers. He announced a new commission to draw nonpartisan election maps and present them to the legislature after the 2020 census. He also called lawmakers into a special session to address our state's dairy crisis, potentially appealing to rural voters in a big election year. So do you support the governor's proposal to help dairy farmers under pressure? Does the legislation go far enough? How do you think Republicans in the legislature should respond? We're at 800-642-1234. Laurel White is WPR's state capitol reporter, and she co-hosts the WPR Politics podcast. Laurel, welcome back.
Thanks for having me.
So during the State of the State address, Governor Evers called the legislature into a special session to address the dairy crisis, and he hoped the legislature would take action this week. What is the status of that?
So we do know that Assembly Speaker Voss said that he doesn't expect the Assembly in particular to come in this week. He wants a little bit more time to look over the proposals from the governor, kind of go through the process, have the debate with Democrats, sort of look at the short and long-term solutions to the dairy crisis in Wisconsin and kind of how the majority wants to move forward with that. Senate Majority Leader Scott Fitzgerald had a little bit more of an open stance when we asked him about it. He said that he's going to gavel in the special session this week, which is kind of that ceremonial move to start the process. He didn't say that he expected lawmakers to be on the floor this week to start discussing those things, but he said he fully expects the Senate to take some action and do some things in the realm. So,
would you expect that this would be taken up by committees?
Yeah, so this will go through the regular legislative process. So bills that we have now from the Democrats, if Republicans decide they want to move forward with those, will be introduced. They'll have public hearings and executive sessions in the committees. Then they'll go to the floor, be debated and passed, then signed just like regular bills. I think that's really important to point out because we are working on somewhat of a condensed time frame right now. Lawmakers are expecting to wrap up the current session by the end of February. At least that's what was sort of expected before the special session emerged. So it's going to be interesting to see whether the special session action is confined to that previous time period that everybody was talking about, or if that extends things out a little bit into, March or April.
What's in this dairy package?
So there are several bills. It's a package of eight bills, I believe. And they do a pretty wide variety of things. So one bill would create what the governor is calling the Wisconsin Initiative for Dairy Exports. And this does something that he talked about in his State of the State address. He wants to increase U.S. dairy exports to 20% of the export market. So that's something that he says will help kind of bolster the industry. Another proposal would create several new grant programs. This is something that the governor has talked an awful lot about. Grants for dairy processing plants, so kind of other parts of the industry, producer education programs, a small farm diversity grant, and that grant in particular would award up to $50,000 a year to farmers looking to diversify their crop, so add another crop. We've sometimes heard about dairy farmers when they can adding hemp into their crop in recent years, because Wisconsin just legalized hemp, obviously, in recent years. So kind of a broad variety of things the governor's looking to do.
We're doing a roundup on politics with WPR State Capitol reporter Laurel White. You can join in. What do you want to know about the pending battle over purging thousands of registered voters? What was your reaction to Governor Evers' State of the State address last week? We're at 800-642-1234, email ideas at WPR.org. Laurel, the legislature's nonpartisan fiscal bureau released new estimates last week on the financial health of our state government. What does that picture look like?
So this is a chunk of money that lawmakers were and weren't expecting. So let me flesh that out a little bit. There had been some speculation that the fiscal bureau was going to come back in and say, we're expecting to take in more tax revenue than previously projected. There were just some some chatter around the Capitol about that happening. Well, that did end up happening. And so what lawmakers have to do now is that that surplus of money that wasn't expected, or the projected amount of money that wasn't expected, is divided into two. And half of it goes into what's called the state's rainy day fund, sort of the state savings account. And the other half, lawmakers get to decide what they want to do with. And of course, everybody kind of has a different idea about how they want to spend that money. So Republican lawmakers are talking about possibly passing a tax cut before the end of this legislative session, so just in the next several weeks. We don't know, of course, exactly what that would look like, but Senator Fitzgerald actually raised the prospect of a property tax cut when we talked to him at the end of last year, and maybe just making some switches to how technical colleges are funded in Wisconsin and taking that off individuals' property tax bills. So we'll look at how that kind of plays out going forward. Democrats have pushed back and said they would rather use the money for programs, particularly programs related to mental health in Wisconsin. That's something that the legislature has spent some money on recently, but in their opinion, not enough.
And how much money are we talking about here?
So after it's divided into two, I believe it's about 400,000. So it's 400 million rather. Right. So 400,000 would not be a sizable chunk for the tax cut, right?
Wouldn't go too far.
Right. So they're going to talk about how they want to divvy that up going forward.
Let's look at another piece of the governor's address, State of the State. He announced a new commission that will recommend how the state's election maps should be redrawn after the 2020 census. Have we learned more details about what this commission would look like?
So that's a great question, and we're actually going to find out a lot more about that this morning, because the governor is going to be having an event at the Capitol at 8:30 this morning to talk about this executive order and what the commission is going to look like. So we don't have those nitty-gritty specifics yet, but we do know what he said in his speech, which was, we're going to create this commission and we're not going to put consultants or lobbyists or people who have been elected officials on this commission to draw the next set of legislative maps in Wisconsin. I think it's really important to mention that because this commission is being created through an executive order, it's not going to have the force of law. The maps that it draws aren't going to be the sort of default legislative maps for the state. They're really going to be more of, I guess, a suggestion would be a good way to kind of frame it. And GOP leaders have said that they're planning on moving forward with the legislative map drawing process as they've known it forever. And so what we're going to have here is a little bit of what we saw with the state budget, where Republicans do their thing and the governor presents his own thing.
WPR's State Capitol reporter Laura White is our guide as we talk through recent developments in state politics. What do you think of the governor forming this commission to redraw the state's election maps? How do you think these maps should be adjusted after the 2020 census? What issues do you think the legislature should address before they leave the Capitol in a few weeks? What is your top priority? We're at 800-642-1234. There's more State Cap in just a moment. Stay with us here on the Ideas Network. You're with us for the State Capitol Report. I'm Kate Archer-Kent. We are recapping the past month in state politics with an eye on some of the biggest headlines. A newly introduced package of water quality bills has broad bipartisan support and some momentum. Other legislation, though, seems to be stalled in the Capitol. What news or developments have been you following from the Capitol? What legislation are you monitoring? We're at 800-642-1234. Laurel White is WPR State Capitol reporter, and she stays with us. Laurel, there's been a lot of attention over the past month on this battle over removing more than 200,000 voters from registration databases. What is the status of that?
So we've had some big news on that recently, actually, and it basically boils down to the state Supreme Court deciding not to take that case and bypass the lower courts to do so. So what had happened was the plaintiffs, the Wisconsin Institute for Law and Liberty, had petitioned the state Supreme Court to essentially bypass the state appeals court and take the case more quickly, kind of assuming that it was going to make its way there. That moves the whole process up a little bit in terms of, you know, getting a decision before the April election potentially or the November election. The state Supreme Court decided that they didn't want to do that. They actually split on a 3-3 decision on whether to take the case over the appeals court. So what that triggered was the appeals court saying, all right, well, the Supreme Court isn't going to take this from us, so now we can issue some decisions. They issued the decision that they were going to stay the lower court's order, the state circuit court's order, that said those 200,000 folks needed to be removed from voter rolls. And they also stayed a contempt of court ruling that the lower court—
Oh, because they were going to make the Elections Commission pay each day.
Exactly. They were going to fine them per day, certain commission members that had voted against removing individuals from the rolls during different Elections Commission meetings. So the way it stands right now, because of those appeals court rulings, the holds that are now on the lower court, basically nothing has changed. Because the and when I say nothing has changed, we're kind of back to the status quo before the lawsuits were even filed, because the first court said the process isn't working, we need to remove these people, and now the appeals court has stayed that. So those 200,000 individuals that we've been talking about, they're staying on the voter rolls, they're going to be there moving forward, and now we're just waiting. That's going to be the case until another court makes a different decision.
Looking at the water legislation, Republicans and Democrats announced bipartisan legislation to improve water quality this month. What are some changes that the package of bills would make?
So this is a big package of bills, and this is interesting. It cost about $10 million. Some of the appropriations in the bills would be one time. Others would be continuing. This is something that came out of a bipartisan coalition of lawmakers that was created to take on the issue. So we see this sometimes in the Capitol with certain issues, but that means these proposals have a little bit of a different flavor than some of the partisan conversations that we sometimes have about big issues like this. So some of the examples, one bill would create a new Office of Water Policy within the UW Extension, which handles a lot of water quality programs for the state. And that office would be, under the proposal, tasked with coordinating a lot of the other state services and programs. So a little bit kind of like an oversight agency, a new one to look over all those things. Kind of like we talked about with the dairy proposals, there are a variety of grant programs as well for the state to help support different initiatives or different groups that are already doing things. So there would be a $1 million program, a nitrogen optimization pilot program, which I'm sure everyone is familiar with what that would do. But basically what that would do is help farmers figure out how to use manure in different ways. Okay. And perhaps more efficiently, so they're using less manure on their fields to, you know, reduce the potential for groundwater contamination and runoff and things like that. We often have those conversations when we're talking about manure in Wisconsin. So
would the water package kind of move through the legislation altogether as a package? Is there anything that is an outlier here in this package?
Well, you know, you never really know. I think what comes to mind when you ask that question is a package of homelessness bills that we've been talking about a lot in the Capitol. That's a similarly sized package of bills. And we've just had one of those pass so far in the state Senate. All of them passed the state assembly, and they all passed with similar levels of support, I think, in the assembly. So to see them being held up in the Senate, you just really never know how these things are going to play out and what things are going to stand out a little bit more to certain individuals and kind of raise red flags for them. So in theory, yes, this should all kind of move together, but something could always splinter off.
We're doing a roundup on politics with WPR's State Capitol reporter Laurel White. She's here. You can join in. What issues do you think the legislature should address before they leave the Capitol in a few weeks? What's your top priority? Join in 800-642-1234. Email ideas at WPR.org. Laurel, you bring up the homelessness package of bills. And last week, the Senate approved one of eight bills from this package aimed at addressing homelessness. Which proposal did the Senate advance to Governor Evers?
So this is a bill that would create a grant program. We're having a morning of talking about grant programs.
Win the day.
Yep. So this is a $500,000 grant program to help shelters across the state provide services and improve services and kind of get that extra support from the state.
Are there any other proposals to address homelessness that are gaining traction?
So this is, you know, like I said, these proposals have made it out of the assembly. I think members of the assembly really want these to make it through the Senate before the end of the legislative session. This is a $3.7 million package overall, and it has a lot of initiatives, you know, supporting existing services, you know, for homeless individuals, also prevention services, job training. One of the big bills in here would provide $900,000 annually to a housing assistance program, helping people get into stable housing is a big initiative in this package. So this is something that Assembly Republicans in particular have been focusing on for the past several years, the issue of homelessness in Wisconsin, and this was their big push this year. I think there's a little bit of frustration within the Assembly that this has been held up in the Senate, where some people have concerns about the price tag is one thing I've heard about. And then they're concerned that there might be a little bit of redundancy with some services that are already offered. They didn't feel like they were really looped into the drafting process on this. So
let's switch gears here and talk about dark stores. There's seems to be broad bipartisan support this session for legislation that would close the so-called dark store loophole. That's where retailers try to cut their property taxes. What is the status of this legislation?
So this is legislation that's been floating around the Capitol for quite a while. Basically, what this bill would do is it would take away the ability for big box stores to loop in big box stores that are vacant into their property tax assessments and to use those vacant storefronts to lower their own property taxes, kind of in that comparison situation. It does have bipartisan support. Lawmakers on both sides of the aisle have signed on to it. In the past, similar scenario. It has made it a little bit further in the legislative process in other sessions. This session, it actually hasn't been scheduled for a public hearing in either house yet, in either chamber yet. So it's definitely stalled this session. And like I said earlier, we don't have a lot of time left for it to move forward.
Well, this month, the state Senate confirmed two more of Governor Evers' cabinet picks, and that's been something we've been watching for quite some time because this has been quite a slow process. We saw Caleb Frostman as Secretary of the Department of Workforce Development, and then Joaquin El Toro as Executive Director of the Housing and Economic Development Authority. So which cabinet positions remain unconfirmed?
So we have seven that are still unconfirmed, and we've got some biggies in there, some departments that people, even those that don't interface with state government really often or think about state government, are the kind of the big departments. So the State Department of Transportation, for example, the Secretary Craig Thompson there hasn't been confirmed. Department of Health Services Secretary Andrea Palm hasn't been confirmed yet. Department of Tourism, Sarah Meany, hasn't been confirmed. So these are all individuals that, for various reasons, some lawmakers have raised some concerns about either their history before they became a part of the Evers administration or how they've been doing their job since they took office. So as you mentioned before, this process is moving much more slowly than we've seen with previous administrations. So it's kind of a unique dynamic because usually lawmakers are having a hearing and confirming these individuals really early on after their appointment. And you're sort of looking at their record almost like a job interview. Is this person qualified for this job? And the conversation for these folks that are left is not only were you qualified when the governor appointed you, but how have you been doing the job? Do we like the things the steps that you've taken in this leadership role in the cabinet. And so the dynamic this time is just kind of different.
Laurel, thank you for joining us.
Absolutely. Thanks for having me.
Laurel White is Wisconsin Public Radio's State Capitol reporter, and she co-hosts the WPR Politics podcast. Coming up, the state cap continues with Assembly Speaker Robin Voss. What questions do you have for Representative Voss from Burlington? Are you a fellow resident of southeastern Wisconsin or from another part of the state? What issues do you think lawmakers should be tackling? You have a line to Speaker Voss right after this news update. Stay with us here on the Ideas Network.